Hi, this is Lexi
and Sid
of Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks and Art, home of the Schlemmer Metal Wolves. We are a small but furious family-run welding, fabrication, and metalworks shop with CNC capabilities and now full-scale powder coating operation. We bring unique, affordable quality art to life within the realm of practicality. Whether it's signs, sculptures, railings, shelves, furniture, or even just powder coat for your rims or your patio set, give us a look, check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or call 618-670-5724. We are Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks. That was terrible.
We tried.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends at Naked Vine. Find them over there in Chesterfield, Missouri, located at 1624 Clarkson Road. You can swing by Tuesday through Saturday. They do live music most Thursday through Saturday. And this week you can catch Eric Barnes there on Thursday, June 28th. You can catch the Dust Covers there on Friday, June 29th. And the Scandaleros there on June 30th, Saturday night. So come on by the Naked Vine, check it out. They're always a good party over there. Serving up all your favorite whiskey, wine, and local craft beers. So check it all out at nakedvine.net. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And come on out and have a good time. Enjoy the show. Thanks, everybody. Hey, everyone. Thanks for checking out this episode of Rock Paper Podcast. I have a couple of exciting things I want to share with you, including July 8th over at the Old Rock House, this year's fourth annual Rock Paper Podcast birthday show featuring Old Souls Revival, the Scandaleros, Matthias and the Pirates, the Many Colored Death, and Sophisticated Babies. And that's a 2 p.m. start for music, doors at 1. It's a $10 cover. Tickets can be purchased today at metrotix.com, the oldrockhouse.com, and or you can purchase them from me at the door also. So come on out to that show. It's going to be a great night. I'm super excited about this lineup, and this party's for you guys, the listeners, the past guests, the fans, friends, everybody. So let's have a great night. Official after party with the Falling Fences over at McGurk's. So keep the party going all night long. Also coming up on July 10th is the next edition of my singer-songwriter storytelling showcase I've been put together. This is a monthly series. This one features Gavin M., Sean Corray, and Elliot Pearson, and that's a $5 cover for that show over at Naked Vine in Chesterfield, Missouri. And that'll be a 7 to 9 show. So come on out. This is, if you haven't been out yet, this is a super intimate listening room experience type of show. All three writers on stage at the same time singing songs and telling stories behind them, and it's really a great time. So come on out to that one. And I also want to give a big shout out to my friends that have been helping me out recently. My friends at Dynamic Screen Printing for their help putting together shirts. So I have some brand new shirts, blue and black ones. And if you're interested, let me know and I can deliver one for you if you live in the St. Louis area. And a big shout out to Bo over at New Scar Design for his help with the singer-songwriter storytelling showcase poster, which looks great. So thanks, Bo, and thanks Dynamic Screen Printing. So be sure to support all these wonderful local artists and these people making it happen, all these great businesses. So thanks everybody for listening. I hope to see you out of these shows, and wherever you go, take Rock Paper Podcast with you. Be sure to follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks everybody.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
We're Brother
Francis
and
the
Soul Tones.
And thank you for listening to
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the guys of Brother Francis and the Soul Tones. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
I'm excited. This is cool, man. I'm glad to be here, hanging out with you guys, like, getting to talk about, we got a new EP out, and we got a lot of things happening for the band, but this is my first time really, well, at least meeting half of the band. The other two of you guys have been on before and hung out a long time ago and had a good time, but you guys want to introduce yourselves for everybody listening?
Sure.
Go ahead, Francis.
I'm Francis Laddish, or Brother Francis, and I play the guitar and sing songs.
Yeah, Sultan number one, Jacob Zingerling, over here.
Sultan number two would be Taylor Perkins. I play the drums.
And number three, Ryan Benthal, I play keys.
Yeah, this is, like I said, this is cool. I'm glad we made this work. This is a group I haven't actually been able to see you guys live, but through just online and everything, I've been keeping an eye on what you guys have been doing. I mean, definitely getting your name out there, hustling a lot. And unfortunately, I work, like I told you guys about some of my crazy scheduling and stuff, but it's hard for me to always get out to catch some of you guys playing when I'm working in the industry and everything too and stuff. So, but you guys do have a couple big shows coming up that I'm very excited about coming to see the band play, because I got to make that happen. Like I said, you guys have been working hard, getting the name out there. How long has Brother Francis and the Soul Tones been together, I guess? Let's where's all this get started for you guys?
I guess it's kind of a long it's a long story, but with the four of us knowing each other and playing, what do you say, probably like 4 years? Mm-hmm. Just like, and then it's been like different formations, like, though.
No, it's been longer than that. Like 2012.
Yeah, yeah.
Since I've known, since I was playing with Envy the Cookbook in like 2012.
Yeah, so all the Envy the Cookbook, Fool the Radar, and then Taylor and I were in Envy the Cookbook years before that. I think we've been playing for like 10 years. Taylor and I have been playing together for 10 years, and then you guys came in for about 6. So. But it's been different names and different members, and this it's kind of solidified now, or it's gelled in a really awesome way. I haven't been happier playing music than with this what we have going.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, it seems that's the case with a lot of bands. I mean, a lot of people, you know, kind of people come and go in and out of bands a lot, and like as things. And then all of a sudden, like, it clicks one day. It's like, this is the four or five guys or whatever this is gonna be the band thing. So it's a lot of fun to watch that process evolve and where everything, and then watch it. And all of a sudden, like I said, that last mix, you know, key player comes into the mix, and it becomes like, this is it now, finally. So
mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah,
you kind of watch and hear everything fall into place.
Yeah.
And it's done that. And it's getting better every week.
Oh yeah, so like I said, you guys have this EP. I get this. It's been out there how long now?
Our EP release show was at Venice Cafe
in the middle of May.
May 19th.
Okay.
So it was first released then, and we've had the single up of "Haven't Got the Time" on Bandcamp since then as well. So,
yeah.
It just came out.
Yeah, so where do you guys record this yourselves, or go to somewhere, a studio?
Yeah, we've been recording it, a little mix of like my house and Taylor's house. We've been tracking, I got some recording gear over there, and we tracked it individually, did a lot of overdubbing and experimenting, and then we gave it to my buddy Mike, Michael Harvey, up at
Euphony
Records, and he mixed and mastered everything. And then we got it out.
Yeah.
Had some great artists come in. Kylie Pierce did the art for the cover of it. And the write up and everything. Everything just came together, like right at the time it needed to. So
yeah, man. I listened on the way down and I was really digging it. It's there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of different sounds and a lot of different, like, I don't know, you guys were, we sort of had a discussion before we started about like kind of you guys were saying, this kind of fusion kind of sound, like you, a lot of different influences all kind of coming together, and like, and that's kind of what, like, I was, as I was, before you even said all that, like, I was listening, and you can kind of start kind of hearing different things coming through on the, in the sound and the different influences, and so that's always kind of fun for me. I mean, there's definitely some jazzier kind of things, there's definitely some, you know, some funky stuff in there, and it's like, it's cool to hear it all kind of coming together as one, you know, collective piece for, as this project.
Yeah.
So
there's like a undercurrent of like singer-songwriter too, like in the songwriting, the songs I write, I'm usually coming at with an acoustic guitar and a sheet of paper, and so, you know, like the lyrics and the melody will be kind of in the context of the chords, and so it just ends up kind of sounding singer-songwriter-y, but applying it to like the group, try and funk up the rhythm a little bit, or like, or give it some groove. Just playing funky music and like playing groovy music is it just feels incredible.
Yeah,
it's one of the best feelings in the world. Like, and once you, when you get into like a really tight pocket, and like things are just are locked in, and everyone's hearing each other, everyone's listening and like co-responding with one another, it's beautiful.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so you pretty much you'll come to practice or something with the guitar and introduce the song to these guys, and then and just start building from there. A lot of times.
I need to get better at it. I've improved slightly, as some people can attest to. I need to write out more. Like, I need to get more diligent about writing things out to make it more accessible. When learning, just to make the process go faster. Because it's like, it's all up in my head, but I don't put it down on paper that well.
Well, I mean, you've got probably about 30 songs now that you've written. Even though we only have a 4-song EP, you probably have close to 30 written songs.
We're like 40 now.
Yeah, there you go, 40.
For like,
and,
four albums.
And you can't talk down on yourself too much, because, yeah, you do have a lot of this stuff written out, but you're pumping out so many so fast that some of them, you know, it's hard to get down on paper right away.
Yeah.
So.
Just trying to, you know, we're just trying to grow, though, you know what I mean? Like, I think we're all just trying to get better and find ways to work as a, work well together, like,
definitely.
Yeah, well, you said Haven't Got the Time is out there available now. That's sort of what you guys are pushing as the lead single off this EP, and that's available at bandcamp.com. I'm hoping to have it up soon on iTunes and Spotify and all that stuff for everybody to get a hold of that. But let's talk about this song. Is there anything you guys want to share about this song in particular?
Haven't Got the Time?
Yeah.
I don't know, when you said like coming from like a when you said coming from like more of a singer songwriter standpoint, this was like the first song that came to my mind off the EP. It kind of has a straightforward formula, and so it's got that, it's very lyric driven, the song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the music supports that.
There's a...
And I haven't got the time. You ain't got the mind to keep me waiting. And I've opened up the door. I'm stronger than before. So much is changing. And it looks slipping through the cracks. And I might not get it back. And we'll be
That's the one with, like, there's, like, some other voices in the beginning of it, right? There's, like...
No, that's Right Now, I think.
Oh, Right Now?
With the harmonies in the very beginning.
It was, like, it sounded, I don't know, it was, like, people, you could hear people, like, talking on and stuff.
Yeah, that's Right Now. And we'll give a shout-out to Dick Pointer when we talk about that one. Yeah,
all right.
That
was, I was listening to my... I wasn't for sure if I had that right or not, but so there is a video available for Haven't Got the Time. You guys shot a music video, you said?
Yes. Yeah, we shot that with Ryan.
Ryan Hugreek helped us out with the music video. We ended up scheduling a video shoot, and it was actually scheduled in a different place than we actually ended up shooting it, which was on top of the arcade apartment building in downtown. We had originally scheduled it to be shot in a studio at the Leather Trades lofts down the way, and we went there to the studio. It was in a big paint studio. We were gonna, like, open up the windows, and they've shot the loft sessions in that same place as well, which is a really cool series that they were doing there. Mm-hmm. So we had scheduled it in there, and we went in there, and there was, like, this giant, like 40 foot long, no, maybe, but yeah, like 30 foot long canvas. It was, like, full, and it was very, like, gothic, like Harley Davidson style, and it was, like, House of Pain.
Yeah.
Like, right on the wall, and it was all along the wall, and I was like, man, it's like, I don't know, we probably shouldn't move it because it was fresh paint. It was someone, like, working on it, and so...
It essentially would have been, House of Pain would have been the backdrop for the music video, which so kind of steered away from that.
Yeah, it wasn't really the style of the video. Well, at least not for what we're doing, especially. So we're like, we got to figure something else out. And then Ryan, had access to the arcade building, so we... went up to the roof and was like, all right, let's just shoot it right here. It just happened. And it happened, like, right when it was late April. Wait, was it? Or it was early May. It was early May that we shot it. And it was the first day that it started getting nice out. And it was, like, really cold, you know, how we were having that, like, that really crazy, like, super cold weather in April for a second. And then all of a sudden... You know, it was really nice out just on the day that we ended up scheduling it. Happened to be on the rooftop. There's birds flying around in the music video, but it was a great experience.
Yeah. Nice, yeah, man. That's available. I guess you said on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, totally.
On the YouTube,
Brother Francis YouTube channel.
There you go. Click that subscribe button and. I did mention you guys got a bunch of great shows coming up. You can come out and see Brother Francis and the Soul Tones at Venice Cafe on June 28th, which that's such a beautiful room over there. Like, really something special in that place, and living, breathing piece of artwork over there.
Oh, it's our favorite place. We've been playing there for a couple of years, and it's. It's like, it's the place we really got started playing out as much as we have. And it's been awesome. It's been awesome playing there and awesome getting to know the people who work there and get to know Jeff. And they're wonderful people. And the crowd that comes there, they're having fun.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're also like, they're having fun. They appreciate the music too. Like, you play some rooms that are more like oriented towards the beer itself, and it can be tough to hold, like, the audience's attention.
Mm-hmm.
But at a place like that, I feel like the audience is just, they're in the mood to appreciate art because of all that's surrounding them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there's a lot to take in over there for sure.
Yeah.
Every time I just take a walk and looking around and discovering something else, neat in that building. So
definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go in there 100 times and still see new stuff.
Right.
You know, it's very, very neat.
I just up there last night. I did see some new stuff.
There you go. Not only is there a ton of stuff in there, but they are putting in new art installations.
It's constantly renovating things.
It's
true.
It's not stagnant. Yeah, you know, they definitely switch it up.
Yeah, Jeff keeps it moving.
Yeah.
I actually did a podcast from the boat bar one night over there.
Nice.
With a little Zach Squatch.
Zach, nice.
Yeah, we love Zach.
Yeah, Zach's great.
It was a fun one. I don't think the patio had just opened at the time, and like, but the bar wasn't open yet. But we were sitting out there, and
yeah.
Me and Zach were recording, and people walked up like in the middle of the podcast, and were like, "Yeah, can I get a beer?" And we're like, "Oh no, we're just doing a podcast," and like, and it was such a funny moment, like for me, and like, just that we I guess this guy thought we were I was the bartender or whatever, because I'm sitting behind the bar there and stuff. It was really funny.
Yeah. I mean,
you could have like really been the bartender, right?
Sure.
There.
Yeah. All right. All right.
Don't worry, sir. I got you. Would you like a?
And then just don't go get anything.
Just continue on.
take his money.
Yep.
Can't you see the microphone?
Right. You got another. This one's you guys are really excited about, but we are heading over to Atomic Cowboy on July 14th as part of this year's Mountain City Music Fest. And
indeed.
It's a 2-day festival, the 13th and 14th. You guys are playing the 14th. And there's a lot of great music on that. The Scandaleros and Common Jones and Gorilla Theory. You said Break Night also
and
there.
And Monk and the
Monk
People.
The People, yeah. A lot of really good music over the 2 days, so... spend the whole weekend over at Atomic Cowboy. It's going to be a good one.
Oh yeah.
It's going to be rip-roaring.
Yeah. You guys are playing the pavilion stage outside, right?
Yeah, outside. We played at the bootleg a few times, so this will be our first time playing on the outdoor stage.
Yeah.
We're really excited.
Really pumped, yeah. Really excited.
Yeah, I think we're closing it out on the second night, and then Break Night's going to be playing back in the bootleg afterwards for the after party and everything.
Totally.
So yeah. We got to get people hyped.
Yeah.
Hyped for that. You gotta be there.
Break Night Hype.
Yeah.
I really do enjoy going to shows out there on the pavilion. Just a fun atmosphere. I mean, and you got delicious food and everything too from Atomic Cowboy, so can't go wrong with good tunes and cold drinks and
quesadilla.
Get some tacos. It's all good.
It always sounds so good, too. Like, everything, the sound-wise and everything.
I thought you were talking about the food.
Yeah,
the food sounds so good.
Oh, man.
Are you hungry?
Why are we all so hungry?
Because, it's got that Mexican vibe to it.
Yeah.
It's my favorite stuff right there.
Mm-hmm.
It does sound good in there. The actual sound quality,
the sound quality, it sounds great. It's a great stage. They're really doing a lot of
good
cool
point.
Stuff.
Good yeah. point,
a lot
Jacob.
Of cool stuff this time.
Pleasant acoustics.
It's pleasant for your eardrums.
It's good
while you're eating.
It's good.
Yeah, while you're eating delicious food, and I like how they have like the bamboo backdrop of everything, so you kind of forget like, oh, we're in the city.
Right.
You know, it's cool. It's got a great vibe to it.
First time I saw it, I was bamboozled.
How did I get in this bamboo forest?
But yeah, we're looking forward to Mount Fest, getting back on track. Playing the pavilion is going to be awesome. That's our first time playing the pavilion.
Not the last.
And we are oh so honored.
Yeah. You guys, and then you'll be back at Venice on the 12th of July and the 20th of July, you said. And on July 21st, you guys are playing City Museum, right?
Yeah, up at Beatnik Bob's.
Yeah.
Which was first time there. That's a really cool place.
For sure. Yeah, City Museum's another just amazing place. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, this will be fun.
Yeah.
I know you guys have played this, Ryan and Jake, with your Godzilla group.
Uh-huh.
Kind of know how it's going to go down.
So the City Museum show is going to be held on the third floor at Beatnik Bob's. And we are collaborating the show with other local artists, Cranky Yellow, and they're the ones throwing organizing the show as well. And Cranky Yellow does a whole bunch of really cool stuff and great music, and they just came out with a really cool creative music video as well. And they actually have art installations that they're putting up there all the time, and they're doing different like projected visual art as well as different... installations, you know, that they do. So the stage is really compact, and it's in a really cool spot, you know, to, you know, where they've they have a bar up there as well, and they've where they serve food. I think they do like quiche and
quiche.
Tacos and rice bowls, yeah, and, with asparagus and sweet potatoes and chili. They do white chili with chicken.
Nice.
The Sultans love food.
Yeah. Yeah. So we only play, you know, places where they do tacos.
Yeah.
You know. But Bidding Bob's is just really awesome, just as an art hub inside of City Museum. And they're not doing as much music this summer, so they're just getting back into stuff. Cranky Yellow, I'll definitely check them out. And so we're doing the show with them, it's going to be crazy. We're going to be doing projected visual art at that show as well, and we've done shows there with our other side project, Spaceship. We've done stuff there. We love collaborating with the City Museum. It's a place that's doing a lot of great things, and a lot of great people are doing
very cool stuff. You can get involved with Brother Francis and the Soul Tones up on the Facebook page, right? We got more dates and things will be posted there, and get involved. let's talk about right now. This is another new song from the EP you guys wanted to share with everybody.
Yeah.
You were saying there was a little story with some of the vocals there in some of the beginning.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, the in the middle of the song we have these instrumental hits, and then over that you hear some talking.
Right.
It's like it's a phone recording. But it's a phone recording we were taking of this rant, this amazing, beautiful, wonderful rant that Dick Pointer went on outside of Venice Cafe one night. It was like 2 a.m. Anyways, capturing that, going through it, we're like, we gotta find a way to like put this in the album somewhere, like put it through some, like, you know, put it through the programs and get it on there. And so Jacob and I one night we were like searching we're stoned, we're like listening to this this dude rant, and like, oh, this is the part. He's like, and on Wednesday you show up with the batteries. And I was like, oh man, that's the line right there. And so we put that in. You'll have to listen for that. If you get hands on the EP, you can hear that. You can hear him, on Wednesday you show up with the batteries.
Right now, things don't look so different like they did before. Right here, right now, seeing things in a light I've never seen before. People struggling hard to break away. Over time, you have abused my mind. Now you'll never hurt me no more. Living that life no more.
He's talking about how people get money to buy crack on the streets. Is essentially what you guys are talking about.
That's what Dick was talking about on the rant.
The life of a crackhead. Yeah, he was just talking. It was just like you get some batteries, and the batteries are
the junkyard don't take car batteries on Tuesday.
So you can't buy crack on Tuesdays until Wednesday. When the junkyard starts buying batteries,
and then very in depth story.
Now, this is sandwiched in between the lyrics of a song, though, that are people struggling hard every day. People struggling hard to break away. And the song is about, like,
finding
the struggles. Struggles of life. The struggles of identity. I mean, like, for me personally, I've struggled with sexuality. Like and not being able to express it, and there's like this sense of like kind of being trapped, and it leads to like this kind of self-defeating, like self-sabotaging way of looking at yourself. Like, begin to believe what people say when they say negative things about certain groups, and it's like so the song is kind of like a an homage to that, I guess. So it's about breaking free. It's about overcoming, you know, any kind of mental prisons that we allow ourselves to be trapped in.
Yeah, man. I just thought that was a neat moment, like, because, like, you're saying with the recording and trying to figure out how to put that in there, like, I like that kind of stuff, especially doing the podcast, like, some of the weird things that get picked up on the mic, like, and figuring out how some way to, like, include it, or to, like, I'll put a lot of stuff as, like, weird outtakes and things sometimes when, you know, just have fun with it, because like it's just, we have so many of these recordings, everything's picked up everywhere, you know, with like saying cell phones or whatever it is, but it's nice to when you can actually have these recordings and to be able to recycle and reuse them for as art and do different stuff with them and stuff. So that was that's cool to hear that you guys did that.
Yeah, there's definitely an artistic thing about
right
doing something like that. Or that's where we were pulling that from.
Yeah. And we so we do have physical copies of the EP available.
Yeah, we self-produced the EPs, yeah, and they're available at all our shows.
Yeah, so come out and all those shows we listed, and come out and pick one of those up and take one with you. But you said to, earlier about having 40-something songs written now, so I'm guessing you guys aren't slowing down on the recording. You guys looking to
right
get back at it?
Yes.
Yeah. We're back. We're back in the studio.
Yeah, we're doing it.
We're in the studio
right
now, pretty much.
Yeah. Full-length album.
Welcome to the studio.
So we're working studio on a full-length album now?
Yep.
Sound like a double album if you got 40 or something.
Right.
Yeah, we're just attacking some 40 songs. Right.
Boom.
The thing that keeps us from like really getting into it is deciding what to start with.
Sure.
It's like, which one do we start with? And we spend like an hour discussing it. And by then, like, we're tired or we're stoned. Or, and it's like, well, let's just call it. Let's just jam and call it. And then next week, we're like, wait, so what did we decide on? And we end up, like, having to go over parts. And then a month goes by, and it's just like, wait a second, we got 40 songs. Yeah, we need to be recording.
But we're breaking the cycle. We're breaking the cycle.
It's a real struggle. Weren't we supposed to do something? Record an album.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we actually have been recording live sessions. So we'll get together and we'll set up mics during rehearsals, and we'll like work on stuff, and then we'll be like, all right, you know, we'll do some live takes and see what happens. And yeah, actually, a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we've gotten some pretty good results with doing it that way.
Just experimenting a little bit more too, yeah, you know.
We the working though in like a studio setting also mm-hmm has its perks. Like I know Ryan, you were saying the other night about how it's nice to be able to like kind of go back over your part and give it a few different goes. You know, like you'll get like that really good take. So it's like maybe we're talking about doing separate rooms this time. Micing up amps in separate rooms, mm-hmm, so everything's independent. You can mix everything separately. And we'll experiment with different ways, and I think the next album we have is going to be awesome. Like I think it's going to be cool to produce it again, mm-hmm, and but this time like
more like
learn from our mm-hmm mistakes, learn from the stuff that went well.
The DIY approach it's becoming more and more popular these days for bands to produce all of their own stuff, or if they have the knowledge to do that, and that's the route that we want to go right now, because we have the gear, we have the knowledge, we just got to put in the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's there trying to figure out how they can cut out as many middlemen as they can, where you can self-produce, you know, your own music or do different whatever you're gonna do. And
heck yeah,
you go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, like in this day and age with the technology, it's so cheap, it's so affordable, it's mm-hmm never been easier to record. Like you think about recording back in the day, you had to go to like a studio and hope that they would let you in the room and record you, you know, and now it's just like you can go to a store and buy some stuff.
Yep.
And just mm-hmm boom. I mean, like we're recording right now. You know, it's just you take it with you anywhere.
I bought this mic for like $150 4 years ago, and I think I've done every episode of the podcast on it except for a handful of them. So, yeah. But yeah, you know, it's nice that recording equipment is affordable and stuff and today, mm-hmm, and you can make things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So when you guys are, as far as the live show, when you're playing out these songs and things, do you guys keep them pretty close to the record or do you guys like to just let them jam and see what happens, live? Mm-hmm.
Well, anything can happen.
Yeah. Well, so there's definitely, like, I think there's variation. There's certain parts where, like, it's kind of expected that you'll do, like, a fill or something, and that fill will change each time. But then there's certain parts that are pretty much the same. Like, there's, I feel like there's certain parts that we have, like, really locked in, and then other parts that are kind of left more open to the moment. And then there's specific parts in songs where we map out jams, where it'd be like, there's going to be a jam after the end of the song, or, like, in the middle of the song. But with having more songs and kind of starting off, like, with the necessity to jam, like, we started playing these four-hour gigs with not enough original material to cover that window. And so we'd have to jam when we first started playing out. And we loved it, so we didn't mind. But as we've been writing more and, like, having more songs to pick from, it's almost, like, preferable to, like, play the stuff that we've worked on.
Sure.
And, like, and pepper in the jam still, because improvisation is a huge part of what we do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we all love improvising music. We all love it very much so. And that is a big part of our shows, is the jams. But like you were saying, it used to be more a part of the show, and now we've really honed in and solidified these songs. So that's definitely a main focus.
Mm-hmm. You guys ever throw in some cover stuff in the live show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff do you like to cover?
Oh, what have we done now? We've done, like,
Bill Withers and Jimi Hendrix.
Some Elton John.
Elton John.
We covered Sober.
Marvin Gaye.
We did Sober by Tool. Yeah, that was cool. Doing some really hard rock.
But that was a special occasion that prompted us. But then we'll probably be covering it.
We should play it again.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to funk it out, though. We should play it real funky.
Well, yeah.
Do the funky Sober.
We like to play a few.
Do the funky sober.
That's like a dance
move. Sober.
I don't need to do drugs to dance.
Right, come on. Let's grow up, people. Be adults. Don't do drugs.
Do the funky sober.
Do the funky sober.
That's our new campaign. Look for that in the upcoming dance. Months. The funky sober. Hashtag funky sober. Funky sober.
Dance tour. Responsibly.
Yeah. Dance responsibly.
No one's gonna come to our show.
Yeah.
I thought these guys were cool.
So yeah, we recently.
Dude, this is cool, man.
No, you're good.
Anywho,
we recently played a 30th birthday party. It was a private party, and we played "Sober" by Tool, and we played a Wolfpack song, "Wait for the Moment."
Yeah, do some Wolfpack, yeah.
And that was for the birthday boy.
Who shall not be named?
Anonymous.
And the location won't be disclosed either.
Somewhere in Missouri.
To protect the parties involved, no names or locations will be disclosed.
We can tell you there was trees and a lake.
Yeah. This is getting.
It was very serene.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
What else do we cover? I think that's it.
Yeah. I just think it's. I mean, like, it's just fun to hear people do a cover version, and like it's saying like, "Funky Sober." Like, it would be fun to hear. Like, you know, obviously, if you want to hear Tool do the song, you can go see Tool or buy the record or whatever.
Sure.
But it's like it's fun to hear your guys' take on it. And things like that, to what you guys want to bring to it, like in making it funky like that and stuff. That's just what I love about going to a show and seeing bands doing it live, like seeing them, like I said, take some creative liberties with some of the music and have some fun with it.
Yeah.
We did a Mad World by Tears for Fears and funked that one up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a cool one to do funky. We might have to bring that back, or maybe do like another. Reinterpretation.
A little bit of Stevie Wonder too.
The
reinterpretations are pretty key though.
Yeah.
Just to make it your own thing. Because I could go buy the album or I could go see the band play it, you know, we're trying to play it note by note, which we want to do it justice, but bands like Scary Pockets, where they, and other bands, I can't think of any right now, that are really reimagining, you know, a song. And doing it in their own style. Definitely respect that.
Yeah. It's such a neat thing, too, about music. Like, I was just watching a video the other night. It popped, somebody shared. I've seen it before, but it watched it again, and like, it just resonated big time for me. But Charles Bradley doing Black Sabbath's Changes. And is that just Ozzy?
I think it might have been Ozzy.
But him, his version of Changes, and it's like, you know, it takes on such a whole new feel to it, and like so much emotion to it, and all the stuff. And so that's one thing I do love about it, when an artist reinterprets a song and stuff, and like, it's just a neat thing. So
it's a wonderful song.
Yeah.
A wonderful guy.
You brought that up, Jacob, about us. If we're gonna do covers, let's do it. Let's funk it up. A funky version of Sober.
Sure.
Or do a double time version of a song that's not usually in that time, or change the tempo or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that stuff's more exciting to me. Because like you said, if you want to hear that song, go listen to that band.
Yeah.
You know?
Go turn on the album.
We focus on the originals, because we do want people to come and hear Brother Francis and the Soul Tones, which was the whole thing.
Yeah, we used to do more covers back in the day, and we'd do them pretty straight. I mean, everything from like Zeppelin to the Beatles. But then it just came to the point where it's like, we have like 40 originals, which covers a 4-hour set.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like, why not play all those that have been worked on and it's original?
I think like, as far as like a live show though, like, I mean, like saying you're playing a 4-hour set, and like, you know, I'll come out for the originals, but like when people throw in like a cover sometimes, like in a mix, like, and then like, I don't know, it is something you'll notice, the crowd reaction, like people are like, you know, oh man, they just did this cover, like, and in their mind, I feel like it like puts you up, like, okay, well, if they're doing it that good, then I know these guys are good, like, you know, it's like, I don't know, something along those lines, like, okay, I know this song, and they're pulling it off, like, it sounds like the, you know, the other version I know, or something, and then, like, now I can appreciate more of the other stuff that they're doing, and, you know,
yeah, I don't like know. Like a rite of passage or something.
Yeah. I try to figure out how the, you know, like, psychology of it all, or whatever, how, you know, how, what people are, what they're thinking, and makes it, but that's the way it seems to work.
Sure, there's, like, the idea of, like, if you're on the radio, you've made it.
Right.
Or that you have talent. Like, it takes, like, you wouldn't be on the radio if you weren't talented, or, like, only the most talented would be on the radio.
Right.
But, like, that's really not the case, you know? Like, you have some of the most talented musicians in the world will never be played on, like, Top 40.
Sure.
Or anything like that. So it's just, but it's interesting to think about what's so appealing about a cover. Even like, more obscure ones, though, right? Because it's just, like, what you know. Mm-hmm. So, like, you play an obscure cover, and there's, like, that one person in the back corner who's like, oh, fucking love this song. Yeah, someone gets this one.
Sure.
Because it creates the memories, you know. When that song came out, there was something probably happened really great in their life while they're listening to that song, you know. And I think it brings up stuff like that. Like, yeah. I remember one time we were playing at Venice Cafe, and the crowd was already getting into things, but then we played Crosstown Traffic by Jimi Hendrix, you know. And how many people have probably had like a great time while hearing that song, you know? So then that, like, kicks into the psychosis. And, oh, yeah, you know? Like, yeah, and it's memorable stuff, because, I mean, that's been played on KSHE for years and years, and still to this day. Yeah,
so. We always bring the kazoos, just in case.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to have nailed it.
Yeah, the human kazoos. That's always been Frank.
Born a kazoo, always a kazoo.
I was born a kazoo.
How about you?
You guys seen that video, the Kazoo Kid or whatever? Like, it's like an instructional video on how to play the kazoo. It's like,
well, I've seen that, but it's fuzzy.
It's like, that up. Sounds great.
Oh, it's. It's a pretty good one. Yeah, this little, like, I don't know, maybe whatever, 6 or 8 or something, little kid, and he's like, kazoo!
Oh, no!
Like,
that's funny.
It's classic. So.
All right, that's the first thing we're doing after we're done with this pod.
It's priorities.
Get your phone out already.
Thankfully for the internet, it's been, like, remixed in all kinds of different ways stuff, so.
Sure.
It's pretty funny to see all the other videos that people have made with it and things, too, but.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so what's next for besides a full length. You guys are kind of talking about getting gearing up to record that. What else would you guys like to do with the band? Do you guys want to do any touring or anything, or you know, something like that? Or
I think that the possibility for playing around in different cities is starting to become realer. Or more realer that works, and so I also think like just more we want to like you know, just make some more merchandise and like have stuff for people when they come out to the shows.
Connect more, I think, one on one with people within our community to then like I think like that's how this band has thrived so far. It's just been just on interpersonal connections. Mm-hmm. And just getting to know people on a one-on-one basis, poetry, songwriting, you know, just kind of knowing people. It hasn't really been as much on, like an online thing. We're all pretty illiterate when it comes to the online stuff. But I mean, we're definitely, you know, we're there. But, you know, if we keep growing by word of mouth, and we just mm-hmm. played over at a summer camp, a music festival, and we've been doing some other festivals. And so I think really it's just about being there and being with the music and present with the music
sure.
and with the people.
Yeah.
And then everything kind of just will unravel.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about like just getting out more and playing with other bands, and like I've been thinking a lot about like, you know, like you hear a lot of people say negative things about the St. Louis music scene. It's a tough thing to say, you know, it's a tough thing to hear being a player in St. Louis. And I think that we have an awesome music scene that's maybe a little taken for granted. But I also think that if we want it to get better, like that's on us as the people in St. Louis to make it what it can be. And I think the potential is there. There's so many great bands out right now, and like, you know, we'll make an awesome music scene. But I know personally, like, I just want to get out and support more. Like, I need to get out more and if I want to see that, if I want community to be important, I need to be a part of it. You know, and I'm trying to get out more, and I'm going down to one day a week at the coffee shop I've been working at for 6 years, so I can kind of do that, free up more time and make more connections and get out and make this magic happen. Get out there and make this magic happen.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely. Like building relationships with other bands and groups is a priority right now. Just networking in general. And then the business side and the technology side of things. So like getting our YouTube channel, getting new videos up there, getting our music on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music. And then, yeah, like the double album, hopefully. No, like when you said that, no need to laugh. That would be really cool, our first album to be a double album. Because I can't think of another band that's really done that.
When Kamasi Washington hit the scene, he had a triple album. Never releases out his first album as a triple album.
Yeah.
So you listen to for 5 years.
Let's wait another year and we'll do it quadruple.
Yeah. We'll release a booklet, a whole anthology.
We
go from one EP to the anthology.
Yeah.
10 CDs.
Let's release an anthology for our first release.
Yeah.
Release.
You know, the cool thing I think that I could see us doing a lot more is just making like just, you know, a lot more involved and cooler artwork, you know, that we can share, and just, you know, we're just doing videos and music and just sharing it. And I mean, we got tons of material, you know, that Frank has worked on over the years, and it's just like, you know, now it's just kind of getting up to speed and like interpreting it and making, you know, some things that we'll just be able to connect hopefully with somebody across the world. And you know, at that point we'll probably go to Japan.
Yeah,
you know,
gotta go to Japan,
you know,
that'd be sweet.
Just start investing money in the permaculture projects too.
Start
retrofitting the suburbs with permaculture and bringing us closer to our food supply once again. Yeah. That would be dope.
Yes. Yeah. Then you don't have to drive everywhere all the time. You can just walk down the way for your produce.
One of those ulterior motives of music and having a platform for me is like talking about stuff that's maybe less accessible and just like day-to-day speech. Like art and music makes concepts that are kind of hard to digest a little more digestible. I feel like, you know, like only a jester can speak truth to the king or like the tyrant. So I feel like it's a responsibility of like artists to speak truth to power, and kind of be a thorn in the side of the captains of industry. And yeah, so yeah. That's a, definitely like a big ulterior motive for me of why I write, why I do art, sure. Why I play music.
Yeah, I mean, I look at like a group like Rage Against the Machine and stuff, you know, like they use their platform to, you know, to put a lot of political messages in their songs and get that the message out to the people and stuff and like what they felt and things. So, and like, and those songs are just as current today as they were ever, you know. It's like
absolutely,
yeah, it's just fun to, you know, like that music can keep living on like that and keep, you know, being relevant. And like, actually what's interesting is like I just saw that video. It was last night was Paul McCartney on Carpool Karaoke with that James Corden. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys watched any of that, but like it was really cool. But that's what James brought up like about that, about the Beatles, you know, how like the music's been around since the 60s, and it's like every generation it becomes current again. It's still relevant, like the lyrics are still just as powerful about love and peace and everything, you know. It's like,
yeah.
And it's like that's just the cool thing about music, that it keeps coming back and stuff. So yeah. But yeah, if you can get if you can get the message out there to the people and they can learn along with you.
Yeah. So. Music has been a way for me, you know, personally, to process trauma. So it's one of those things that it becomes part of the songwriting process in a way, depending on like where I'm at the time. Like if I'm writing a song from that place, like from a darker place, then it's definitely informed by that trauma. And you know, I'd like to think that other individuals with their artistic endeavors, that, you know, I mean, we all live with so much pain. We all live with so much of it. And it comes out in different ways. I think that's what makes music so resonant in some ways. I think we all appreciate the levity and the joy of like happier sounding music or more joyful music. But there's, you know, there's two sides, right? Like there's the love and the pain. And so I think it's cool to touch on both of those things. I mean, like, we have plenty of songs that are joyous, that are exuberant and are full of life. And even the ones that are maybe a little darker still have a lot of life. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're lifeless. It's just that it's the other side of life. It's the side of life that maybe is not as fun to be in.
Sure.
you gotta get that out, though.
That's the thing. Like, I listen to a lot of like really dark and depressing and you know, sad music. Like there's one guy I like in Lincoln Durham. He writes a lot of these really dark songs, and like, and for him that's exactly what it is. It's a release, you know. He gets all this stuff out of his head and puts it into his music and gets it out there and stuff. But you know, and something like that too, like where you put that, especially that, all that feeling and stuff, you put that into the music and then you're gonna find people that respond to it, like where you're telling their story, they can relate to that too and stuff. So I think that's a really cool thing about art as well. So
yeah, definitely
find those people that really connect to just, you know, the message and stuff there. So but yeah, well, you can get, like I said, get involved with Brother Francis and the Soul Tones all over the Facebook page and YouTube, and check out the EP now available on bandcamp.com and coming soon to all your other streaming platforms. But you can pick up a copy at any of the upcoming shows and take a copy home with you. So
thank you.
Yeah, come on out. Mound City is going to be a big one. That's going to be a fun weekend at Atomic Cowboy. Woo. Again, you can see these guys regularly at Venice and all around town. So
yeah.
Thank you guys for doing this, man. This has been a lot of fun getting to chat.
Yeah,
thanks so much, Shane. Yeah. Thanks, dude.
I'll see you soon, guys.
See you.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.